Let's talk about Homestead. Probably isn't going to help you for another almost 300 days, 2019, week before Thanksgiving. You can use this information, but maybe not. Maybe this is going to help you out with your Homestead picks, or not your Homestead picks, your hog picks moving forward, maybe at Atlanta, maybe at Las Vegas. It'll help you out with the strategy process. So when we went into Homestead, we had a pretty good idea of the four or five cars that were going to lead laps and run fast laps that you had to have on your team. And after practice, at least after practice two and three, first practice, not really so much, but second practice, third practice, we had a pretty strong idea of who it was going to be. And not much really changed from early in the week. We knew Kyle Larson, given what he had done at Homestead the last 3 years, was going to be the guy to pick. And he was. And he showed you everything you needed to see in practice. You knew he was going to run that high groove, and you knew he was going to run down some smoking fast laps, especially on the long run. Maybe not on the short run. We knew there was going to be some trouble there. But as the track kind of, you know, spreads out, whatever. I mean, not as track, whatever. As the tires wear down, he's going to run that high groove, and he's going to pick up the fast laps every lap. And I know that during practice, Dale Jr. was making this issue of, well, if he doesn't have the track position and he's running the high groove and everyone else is running the high groove, it's going to make it really difficult for him to get around the track. Now that everybody's in the high groove, it's going to slow him down. Well, the thing is, not everyone is running on the wall. Almost nobody is running on the wall the way that Kyle Larson runs the wall. So no one really was in his way. He had a little bit extra speed coming off the turn, so it really wasn't too much of a difficult challenge for him to work through the track. The biggest issue was he just lost so many spots on short runs. Regardless of all that, it really didn't matter. He was just too cheap. You knew over the course of the race he was going to earn enough fast laps and laps led points. Even if he didn't get that many laps led, and he didn't get that many laps led, and he had the issue, even with the issue running into the wall, he still was in the optimal lineup because of his price. Also because all the other drivers were priced so high, and this is a track where we pretty much have a good idea. There isn't going to be a surprise lap leader, although Denny Hamlin almost threw a wrench into it by leading a bunch of laps at the beginning of the race and running a bunch of fast laps at the beginning of the race. He could have messed the whole thing up, but he, you know, did what Denny Hamlin did for the 2018 season. He pretty much made mistakes, disappeared, fell back. So that happened, so you have to worry about it. So we got Larson was the easy pick. Then you go to the Truex, Busch, and Harvick. Those were really the only other guys that you were considering that were going to lead laps, run fast laps. For me, Truex was a no play. I just did not see it happening. If you'd seen Truex throughout the season at the intermediate tracks, he just wasn't making it work, and everybody else was just a little bit better. I mean, I knew Larson was going to lead laps and run fast laps. I just didn't see Truex doing it. Logano, on the other hand, I thought Logano had no chance going into the week, but once weekend turned or came around, and you could see Logano was incredibly fast in practice, Logano was my guy. I thought Logano was going to win the race, and I thought Kyle Larson would run away with the race, and that Joey Logano was going to win the championship. Those are the two guys I went the heaviest on, and they were the best plays. I also like Kyle Busch. Had a little less Kyle Busch than Joey Logano. That was my second pick. He did nothing. He had absolutely nothing. He did lead a lot of laps there at the end of the race because he stayed out. It had a decent point total, but incredibly disappointing race for Kyle Busch. He just did not have it. Looked good in practice. If you watched the laps and you looked at the individual laps, you know, the 10, 15, 20, 30 lap runs, car looked fine. It looked as competitive, but it just wasn't there in the race. Same thing with Truex, but kind of knew that Truex wasn't going to have it. I did absolutely believe in Joe Logano. Thought the car had it. Thought he had the confidence. Just it seemed like he was the guy. Really fast in practice. Really fast. So then it leaves you to Harvick. And I didn't play any Harvick, although Harvick was incredibly fast. But for me, it was a strategy play of looking at his price was so high. And if you think that, well, Kyle Larson is going to run a lot of fast laps and Kyle Larson is going to lead a lot of laps, that's going to take a chunk of those Hulk points away. And it's going to make Kevin Harvick just incredibly difficult for him to return value or be in that optimal lineup. He can have a good day. I thought, man, it's going to be tough. The other thing that I didn't like about Kevin Harvick was, and we've talked about this before, well, I guess not because I don't really write art. Well, I did write. No, I don't think I wrote any articles, so I don't think I shared any of this information. But Kevin Harvick refuses to run the high line. We've seen that at other racetracks. He wants to run the bottom. He wants the safe spot. He wants the car to be set up for the bottom groove, and he had it dialed in. In practice three, he was running laps just as fast as the guys running up the track on the bottom groove. So you knew he had a competitive race car, and you knew he could run fast laps. But you also had to realize that as the track got dark and the sun went down, the racing group was going to move up the track. And I thought he could score points in the first half of the race, but in the second half of the race, it's just not going to happen for him. When those guys go to the top of the racetrack, they're going to blow him away. And so we're talking about a guy who's already priced too high. You've got to realize that Kyle Larson's going to poach tons of his fast laps and maybe even his laps led opportunities. And then you're thinking, well, he's only viable for half the race. Now, he actually had a pretty good car in the second half of the race, much to my chagrin, and a lot of that was because Larson ran into the issue, so that took away Larson's ability to really get a lot of fast laps and laps led. And then Busch and Truex and even Logano did not push the issue. They never went up the racetrack. They never went up against the wall. No one ever did that, and that gave Kevin Harvick pretty much the race up until, and it was, I mean, Kevin Harvick would have won that race. We really didn't have any cautions until the very end when Larson wrecks, and then we get the Brad Keselowski, Suarez wreck, which it's not intentional, but it's, I mean, look, so, I mean, look at 2000, so, did Brad Keselowski intentionally wreck to bring out a caution? No. Did Brad Keselowski know what he was doing? Yes. Rewind to the 2017 championship. Kyle Larson can go win the race. He has the fastest car. Truex, Kyle Busch are in front of him. Easy win in front of him. But he decides, you know what? The courteous thing to do is not mess with this championship. He backs off, takes third place. Now, I know people out there, oh, it's not what race car drivers are supposed to go out there and race hard. Whatever. Whatever. There's so much more to it. There's so many sponsorship dollars. There's so many people you have to make happy. I'm sorry, folks. Racing is not about just going out there and win. There are so many sponsors you have to keep happy, so many teammates you have to keep happy, so many other drivers that you have to keep happy. There is a lot of politics involved, and if you don't believe it is, that that's the case, then you just aren't watching NASCAR. Kyle Larson did the right thing and backing off. Well, I would never back off. I would go for it. And that's why you're not in that race car. Those are facts. So we fast forward to this year. We've got Brad Keselowski taking it four wide at the end of the race for meaningless positions because I'm a race car driver and I race to the end. No, you're taking it to the end because you know that if you wreck someone, it might just help out your teammate. It could help out somebody. You know what you're doing. You know that the respectable thing is, hey, let's not take it four wide here because there could be a wreck and I could basically change who's going to win the race. I'm going to affect the race. That should be something that's absolutely in your thought process as you're making laps around the track. Everyone thinks about that. You're running 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 15th, 12th, 20th, 30th. I don't care where you are. If you're not going to win, and don't give me this nonsense while I'm racing for my sponsor. No, you're not. No one's watching your car. Your car's not on TV. This is Homestead. The camera has been focused on the top drivers the entire race. No one even knows you're there, Brad Keselowski. You're not racing for nobody or nothing. The only thing you're doing is messing with the race. To give you an even bigger point, so NASCAR or NBC decides to add a simulcast on CSN of the race, and guess who they broadcast there? The four championship cars. They still don't even put in you middle tier, low level. Well, he's not middle tier driver, but the non-championship drivers. You weren't on TV. You weren't racing for nothing. Don't affect the outcome of the race. I don't really care though. But the only reason I'm indignant is because Brad Keselowski pretends like, hey man, I'm a race car driver, and I just go out there and I run hard. Shut up. Look. You want to pass a slow Daniel Suarez? You'll get your chance. You don't take it four wide at the end of the race when the championships, the real drivers, are running for something. Be patient. You'll get the spot eventually, clown. But hey, you did it. Own it. Don't say, well, I'm a race car driver and I didn't do anything intentionally. Boy, you... Look, did you dump Suarez to cause a caution? No, but you knew, like, hey, you know, taking a four wide here, not smart. You know why it's not smart? Because it's never smart. It's never smart to take anything four wide, let alone when the guys up front are running for a championship and you know that a caution is going to mess that whole thing up. Anyway, back to where were we? No idea where I was. We were talking about hogs. I like Joey Logano. I knew Kevin Harvick kind of got lucky there. You know, if we don't get those cautions to the end, maybe Kevin Harvick ends up returning value, but I was completely off Kevin Harvick. Again, the bottom groove is where Kevin Harvick's always sworn his allegiance. That'll be great at Atlanta. He's the one guy who can really hook the bottom at Atlanta, and that's why he wins races there every single time. He's incredible. But just thought people would be more aggressive. They weren't more aggressive. That almost got me, but luckily, because of the nonsense at the end of the race, which gave the race to Joey Logano, who I had a ton of, it worked out. So thanks, Brad Keselowski. I mean, actually, I should be thanking Brad Keselowski and not sitting here crucifying him, because that wreck made me a good bit of money. Without Brad Keselowski's shenanigans and poor sportsmanship and basic disregard for anyone else, well, I probably would have stayed to lose money, because I don't think Logano would have had as big of a day. He still had a good day. I mean, you look at the fast laps and laps led, it's no surprise. It's the big three, Logano and Kyle Larson. From there, I'm not really going to break down all the other drivers and where they ran and didn't run. It was an absolutely boring race from that perspective. I know the guy, people get excited watching the guys run the high groove, and I guess it was okay. But we don't know what anyone else did. Matt Kenseth ran around the top 15 the whole time, and he benefited from staying out there at the end like Kyle Busch and a couple of the guys, and so that put Matt Kenseth in the optimal lineup, which I didn't have any Matt Kenseth. So was Matt Kenseth good? Well, he said he was a average running position of 13th, which was a slightly inflated from the end of the race. He was a top 15. He was a 15th place car. He makes a gamble at the end. He gets the Kyle Larson caution that puts him up front, and he ends up with a 6th place finish. Not bad. I had none of him, and that's why I didn't win the GPP. Probably why you didn't win the GPP. I guess you always have to have a little Matt Kenseth lucky exposure. He's had a couple decent races this year where things went broke his way, but just the way it goes there. But the other guys I don't really want to get into. It's really just talking more about the Hogs for next year. And I guess if you're looking at the 2019 Homestead race, plug Larson in, unless they get a salary right. If they get a salary right, then maybe you can't necessarily plug him in. And maybe we can make the bottom groove work this year. You know, there was the chatter of, hey, they brought in a new tire, and Kevin Harvick was excited about that tire, and he thought that he could make the bottom groove competitive, and he did. He was the best car the first half of the race, and you could argue that he might have even been the best car the second half of the race, because he had pulled away, kind of had himself a decent little lead, several seconds, until his cautions came out. So he was making the bottom groove work. It wasn't that he was making the bottom groove work. It was, well, he was, but the other drivers just were not aggressively pushing it. Truex, Busch, and Logano were not riding up on the wall. They were kind of passively going in second, third, fourth, hoping for a caution and waiting to make a move later in the race. Very conservative race if you were really paying attention to that. And if it goes conservative again, then yeah, Kevin Harvick or the bottom groove can definitely work in 2019. But, I mean, if you watch the Xfinity race, you want to make hay, you got to go do it on a top groove.